it's been in the news. It continues to be in the news for the last couple of months, and it's a day-by-day thing now, because the latest news is that Enoch Burke has arrived outside Wilson's Hospital School for a fifth consecutive school day. This is despite a €700 a day fine imposed on him by the High Court for defying a court order. Mr. Burke arrived outside the Westmead School near Multifarnham at around 8:45 this morning. Last week, he was pleading with Mr. Justice Brian O'Moore to reconsider the imposition of the fine, claiming he was being penalised for his opposition on religious grounds to transgenderism. The judge has repeatedly stated that penalties imposed on Mr. Burke, first imprisonment and now fines, were due to his defiance of court orders, which simply require him to stay away from Wilson's Hospital School. And the argument is that the orders did not impinge on his religious beliefs in any way, the judge said. But what are those religious beliefs? And in particular, what are the religious beliefs of those of the more Christian fundamentalism, I suppose, way of believing? With me in the line to talk about this in more detail and to talk about Christian fundamentalism, Christian evangelicalism, is Giacomo Leone, who is with the Department of Philosophy and Religious Studies at University College Cork. Giacomo, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me in the programme this morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
Now, in the context of the Burkes, and I don't want to go into the specifics of their particular case, a lot of people would have some sort of an idea that they are very religious, if we just put it that way, or maybe strict Catholics to some people's understanding. But my understanding is that's not the case, that they're Christian evangelicals. But to take it away from them at the moment, what is evangelism? And why is it so closely aligned to fundamentalism in Christianity?
Yeah, so evangelism is, and evangelical Christianity is interesting because it's not a confession in the way that, say, the Methodist Church or the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church are. Evangelism and evangelicalism are movements across different churches, usually not as common in Catholicism, but very common across Protestant churches, especially in the Anglosphere. And while some evangelical Christians are also fundamentalists, sometimes proudly so, that's not common of all of them. But there are a few crucial beliefs that I think some of them came up in the news, in the story. But one is conversion, the idea of being born again, a title that evangelical Christians give themselves and that we hear a lot, especially in the American sphere. You hear it on TV and things like that. Being born again means you recognize Christ and you convert to Christianity, or you convert to that specific strand of evangelical Christianity in your adult life. So even when you come from a family like that, you have a moment in which you decide that you want to be an evangelical Christian. There is no such a thing as cultural evangelical Christians, or like there are cultural Catholics or cultural Lutherans.
If you're an evangelist, you're all in. This is your way of life and you're fully committed to it.
Absolutely. And your way of life is, again, often very close to a fundamental approach to Christianity. For example, most evangelical, although, again, I cannot stress enough how vastly and different the field is, because there is not one central authority, like, say, for the Catholics, the Pope. Each evangelical community has its own references, which is often down to the single pastor or the single minister. So it's very fragmented. But one of the things is the literalism of biblical authority, the idea that what the Bible says, it's literally true and always true and infallible. And that leads to a bunch of different fundamental, crucial beliefs, from believing that Earth is only 6,000 years old, or believing that everything that is mentioned in the Bible cannot change and will never change, and therefore the approach must be absolutely radical. And that's what leads to some of what we have seen in the news.
And from that, then, the beliefs that we're talking about in the news and the protests, and the Burke family would have been part of this issue is over transgenderism and referring to somebody by a pronoun. Before that, they were fully committed and campaigned for years against LGBTQ teaching in schools, campaigned against the same-sex referendum. That all funds from that literal word of the Bible. The Bible is against homosexuality, therefore if you want to be an evangelist, that's your belief and you profess it and you campaign for, governments to adhere to that sort of thinking.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not obviously a theologian. It's not up to me to say what the Bible says or not. I actually strongly believe that many Christians around the world interpret the Bible as not being against that, and I think it's important to mention. But yeah, in a way, often when we look at fundamentalist Christians and evangelical conservative Christians, it's like looking at what the general ideas of Christianity were 100, 150 years ago, which is when actually these movements became popular in the middle of the 18th and 19th century, so 200 years ago now, as a reaction to what they felt the Christian beliefs and the Christian customs becoming weaker, basically.
And that's why there was a harking back to a stricter way, or as they would say it, a more faithful way of doing things and adhering to God's law effectively.
Yes, to some degree, is if you look at what a Catholic would have believed 100 or 150 years ago, those are similar beliefs. On other things, for example, the responsibility of the individual family or the individual believer to make their voice and their idea of Christianity heard, that's specific and new. Again, the idea is that you cannot simply be a Christian on your own. You must bear testimony and you must fight the forces of evil that amass in the world out there. So it comes from a deeper religiosity that is completely pervasive, but that often leads to a very radical, very non-flexible way of looking at people around you that don't share the same beliefs.
And that's very much like each to their own, and you live your own way and that's fine, we'll obey the laws of the land. This is, no, we need to change the laws of the land to align with our beliefs. We need to convince other people, like evangelism, to follow our way, to convert them from their own religions.
That's absolutely correct.
So they're very active, very, very, I suppose, I won't say hardworking, but I guess this is their main driving force, this religious belief in their lives.
Absolutely, and often that also results in skepticism of society at large, of the government, the idea that the government, whatever the government may be, whether it is the Irish government or the American government or wherever the individual community might be based, is not in line with the Christian doctrine, right? Because most states around the world are now non-confessional or moving towards non-confessionalism. And this is seen as something problematic, because the state that does not follow the Bible or their interpretation of the Bible. And so this campaigning, often, for example, families homeschool their children because they don't want the bad beliefs of the state to be imparted on their children and things like that. So from their perspective, is a world that is going in the wrong direction, that doesn't recognize the truth that they have been born again to, and they want to campaign and challenge that, often, again, as you said, without any idea of live and let live, but specifically trying to change society to resemble what they believe it should be.
And are we seeing then, and is that why we're seeing perhaps maybe evangelism, and it has been in America for many years, a strong political movement now? I know in Brazil as well, it's one of the fastest growing brands or types of sort of religious belief there too, and becoming a factor when it comes to election time.
Yes, for two reasons. One, we might be tempted of seeing this communities as almost fringe or rare, but actually, according to some estimation, up to one every four Christians in the world is now an evangelical. Obviously, it's hard to determine exactly, and we must remember that not everyone is as radical or fundamentalist.
Yes, we can't put them all into one box, saying if you're an evangelist, you're going to be fighting the government effectively for your beliefs.
And the other thing is, indeed, that because of this reliance on single communities and these strong activist beliefs, they will always see their Christianity and their evangelical Christianity as a very crucial part of their acting in public. So while someone else could be, yes, I am Catholic, but I'm also an environmentalist, and I'm also, I don't know, a social democrat or whatever they are, for these communities, their identity is first and foremost being an evangelical Christian. And so obviously that lends itself to be important and used in political campaigning and political elections and things like that.
Yeah, indeed. And Giacomo, then when it comes to Pentecostalism or the Pentecost, is that like a similar type of it within the Protestant Church?
Well, yes and no, meaning that, again, Pentecostalism is, strictly speaking, in scholastic terms, is emphasizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But again, it goes towards this idea of tradition, structure, things that have been said before are less important than your personal belief in the Holy Spirit and your personal belief in personal conversion. So often the message is extremely tailored to the small community, sometimes down to the individual family or few people. And so all of the mediation that any kind of church, whether it is Lutheran, Catholic, or Calvinist, or whatever, has developed throughout the centuries to live and cooperate with everyone around them is, in biblical terms, burned away by the flame of the Holy Spirit that comes into the individual believer. And so there is this idea of, doesn't matter what other theologians or other religious leaders have said and are saying, I am burning with the flame of the Spirit, therefore I will do X, Y, Z. And so that's what gives these people the conviction and the strength, regardless of what problems it may cause to others and whether it's right or wrong from my point of view, but the personal strength of belief that leads them to sometimes very difficult situations.
Yeah, and speaking of difficult situations, the one which the Burke family are in at the moment, I'm not sure if the Burke family subscribe to any particular brand of evangelism or if they even see themselves as evangelists in terms of that, Giacomo. But where do you see it going from here in terms of these sort of movements? And I know you've said, look, this very much can be down to each individual community having its own brand of evangelism, its own minister leading their own small individual church. Is this a movement that will grow beyond 1 in 4 Christians in the world, do you think, and become a dominant form of Christianity?
I don't think it's going anywhere away. In times in which, at least in the West, there is a certain tendency to secularization, to the diminishing of religion in the public space. I think that these communities are reacting to that, and so from my point of view, I fear, but from a more neutral point of view, I think that they are not going to diminish. They will be the new form in which religion inside the Christian Western world grows, because it is a relatively recent movement. It's a movement that can be tailored to different realities. It has none of the rigidity of organization that more established churches have. They are more agile, so they can speak to people that are in crisis and turn them into agents of their own evangelization. And so, as we have seen in the US, they didn't suffer from the secularization and the diminishing of the importance of churches, as it happened for almost all other confessions. And so, as you were mentioning, also Brazil, they are growing, and I think they will, if not anything else, keep being there and being protagonists, especially in the conservative political environment.
Yeah, yeah, very interesting. And Giacomo, final question. The traditional churches, how do they respond to this, or how have they been responding to this?
Well, in a way, it is a problem that is not new, not only because evangelical Christianity is not new, but because before it became a political issue in the Americas and Europe, it has been a concern, for example, of the missionary Catholic Church, that some places it starts as Catholicism and devotion to a specific group. But the answer, I think, is showing tolerance, showing the opposite of fundamentalism. That has been the approach that the main churches have been taking, although there are also voices inside, for example, the Catholic Church, that says that is the too much tolerance leaves people disoriented and leads to this. I don't share that perspective, but that has been the general
If you go back far enough, the Protestant faith came from that sort of splintering of a belief that the Catholic faith had gone wrong and we need to get back to fundamentals and basic principles. So as time goes on, you see more splintering.
Yes, absolutely. And to be fair, there are a very high number of small communities. Obviously, already our traditional distinction of calling all of this evangelical Christianity, some of which is recognized by its adherent and other is not, is already a step towards trying to bring it back to something we are familiar with. Oh, that church, but that's what makes it dynamic and, from some point of view, problematic, from others, a resource that is not as organized or definable.
Okay, well, listen, Giacomo, thanks so much for going through that for us, a good explainer for us on that form of relief and where the road it can bring you down. And thanks for talking to us in the program this morning about it.